You're with Misty Winston on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TNT Radio. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation with Professor Anthony Zinkus that we just had. That's a really tough issue to try to dive into in an hour, but I think we had a very productive attempt at it. Obviously, I'd love to have him back to continue that conversation. It is something that needs really more than an hour. I mean, that's a very heavy subject matter. But it was great to talk to him. Hopefully you guys did enjoy that. Joining us for this hour, we have amazing activist and Green Party member Felina Farley. She is a member of the Green Party Black Caucus, and someone I actually had a chance to meet in Columbus. She came to the March for Medicare for All and cracked me up with her speech. She was amazing. So, hey, Felina, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's been great talking to you, and I'm glad I had some fun out of being Nina for that day.
That was so funny. So just everybody knows, Felina gets up to give her speech, and one of the first things out of her mouth is, I think you said something.
Nina for that day.
That was so funny. So just everybody knows, Felina gets up to give her speech, and one of the first things out of her mouth is, I think you said something like, and I'm paraphrasing here, obviously, I didn't really want to have to come out here and be the angry Black woman, but we all knew Nina Turner wasn't going to do it. And I died. That was great. And I was immediately like, I love this woman. Whoever she is, this is the first time I met you. I'm like, I love her. Who is she? I need her in my life. That was great. That was so fun. Yeah. So for anybody who doesn't know, Nina Turner did not show up to the March for Medicare for All. We held the March for Medicare for All in Columbus, Ohio, which is just 2 hours outside of Nina Turner's district, where she was in the midst of an election process. Her excuse was that she couldn't afford to take the time away from campaigning. And so instead, she decided to hold a rally with AOC in her district at the exact same time as the March for Medicare for All, and couldn't be bothered to even tweet support of the effort of grassroots activists organizing across 56 different cities for healthcare, which is something that she, proclaimed to be running on. So that's how I met Felina at the March for Medicare for All.
And you see how close that was? I think she lost by 4,000. And we're all sitting here like, if you would have just did the thing, that would have been your, that would have broken and you would have won.
I mean, it really isn't that complicated, right? I mean, this is an issue that she claims to be a huge supporter of. She's running on it as something that is one of her, top, issues in her campaign. And then she couldn't even be bothered to turn up. And then listen, I understand you're in the middle of a campaign. Maybe, I'm still not impressed by the fact that you couldn't be bothered to just drive 2 hours to, organize with grassroots activists. I feel like, you could probably have done that and it would have been beneficial to your campaign. But I could have excused that, but then to not even mention it, not tweet out support. I mean, all they do is tweet, right? You couldn't even just tweet support,
And I know plenty of people that live in Cleveland and work here in Columbus. So,
yeah.
So yes, for her to not do it, and I know people that do this back and forth between here and Cleveland at least twice a week.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really not that hard to drive the 2 hours. She could have rented a couple buses, brought along a bunch of supporters, joined the effort. I mean, they keep telling us, Felina, you got to organize, right? AOC, Nina Turner, they all tell us, you got to organize. You got to put the work in. You got to fight. And then we do that and they ghost us. And it's a pattern of behavior. You know what I mean? This is not like a one-off. This is something they do on a regular basis until they feel like they can co-opt whatever you're doing in order to benefit themselves, as they're doing with Christian Small in New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's just like, this is the same game plan.
Unionizing. It's embarrassing.
Amazon, so.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I mean, as Christian Smalls, has pointed out multiple times, progressives ghosted him in his effort to organize and to unionize the Amazon warehouse. And especially with AOC, she specifically said she would come. They were in conversations with Christian Smalls. He had conversations with members of her staff. Everything was good. Everything was a go until, right up until the event. And then all of a sudden she's like, nope, we can't come out. Sorry. It's very telling. But now, just recently, I think it was yesterday, maybe her and Bernie Sanders suddenly decided to show up once the work has been done and they can swoop in and kind of co-opt the energy for their own personal gain. They're doing that. And it's really disappointing to see, them kind of swoop in there and kind of steal the thunder. I think I even saw one headline that said something like, AOC, Bernie Sanders, and Amazon workers at a rally or whatever. And I'm like, really? You're just going to erase all the actual people who did the work? It's embarrassing. It's awful. Okay, so I want to talk to you about the Green Party because, I mean, I think we've had this conversation before. The Green Party has been less than stellar, in my opinion, over the last, several years. But I really like the Black Caucus, the energy coming out of the Black Caucus. I know that recently with the COVID stuff, the Green Party took a very kind of insane position. They were very pro mandates, which seems to be antithetical to what the Green Party is supposed to stand for. But the Black Caucus came out and, it kind of went against the National's message. So tell me a little bit about that. What's the kind of disconnect there, do you think, with the National Green Party effort in comparison to some? Because I know that even some state Green Parties were very disappointed with the way that was handled.
Well, definitely I was, since I'm also the national media co-chair. So my name was on both press releases, believe it or not. But yeah, I know. And ouch. And it was approved very unusually, that press release. It was like released to the media to at 12 noon and then published by 5 o'clock. So usually when we have press releases that's going out, they usually give us a 24 to 48 hour window to review it, blah, blah, blah. And they hurried up and pushed it out there without feedback from a lot of people. There were some people that were like, why are y'all rushing this? What is this hurry about?
Yeah.
And to me, it felt like it was a rush because they knew I was going to say something. I'm the national, they knew I was going to say something and I was at work and I saw it on my phone. And I was like, okay, I'm going to wait till I get home. And, but it was already released. So I was like, okay. And I gave a warning to the whole national committee. I said, look, don't put out their mandates. The blowback is going to hurt us in the long term. Don't do it. And I put that out there. And then the next day they hurried up and pushed it out there. And then we got all the negative feedback, negative emails, whatever this. And they tried to blow it off. Well, those are just the undesirables.
Wow.
And I'm like, really? The co-founder of Food Not Bombs is pissed off sending emails.
Yeah.
I'm part of the Food Not Bombs Central Ohio group. So I'm sitting here like pissed off because I am part of this organization handing out food. And here's one of the co-founders pissed off at the Green Party for putting out this statement. So myself and James Lane, we got together because we already started a really big fuss last year on April 30th, which was coming up to our year anniversary. We did an interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Nice. And most people don't see that interview because Facebook has it released in 1970. So that's older than me. And
yeah.
I know you've heard that story before. Like, yeah, we released this interview with Robert F. Kennedy back when he was five. Or
so. Yeah. They're really good at hiding that kind of stuff. They're really good.
Yeah. So we've already been considered a fringe type of thing. So when we wrote our response, I wrote the first half of that and James wrote the second half and we put it together and we tried to get it to be published through the Green Party, but they was like, no.
Wow.
Y'all sound like a bunch of Republicans. And we're like, what? Okay. So put it out there. And they, we got all the positive feedback. They still got all the negative feedback. And I guess the rest is history. And Jimmy Dore went on his thing saying, look, a bunch of black white supremacists are supporting no mandates. So thank
you, Jimmy.
Well,
it was so bizarre. So. Honestly, Felina, it was so, but listen, I haven't really been, I don't do electoral politics. I think you're well aware of that. I don't believe in electoral politics. So I don't really care. Like the Green Party is the Green Party and it is what it is. You know, it's attempting to work within, you know, inside a broken system. But I was still very surprised that they came out in complete support for mandates because and to then say that the people who are against mandates are undesirable and Republicans and right wingers is just so absurd. There's nothing Republican. I mean, maybe there is. I mean, is bodily autonomy a Republican talking point now? Is that? I mean, it seems like there's been this weird shift where things like bodily autonomy and you know, free speech have become right wing issues, which is bizarre to me. But these are the same people who will often say "my body, my choice" when it is politically convenient for them, right? But then when they want you to inject some substance into your body, suddenly that goes out the window, and it's really weird to me. Like when that came out, I was honestly shocked. I mean, it takes a lot to shock me, but I was honestly shocked that the Green Party would come out so strongly in support of mandates. It's a terrible idea. It's a terrible idea. Horrible. Oh,
we tried to compromise and tried to say, come out with another press release from the, because this was just our steering committee that did this. And our steering committee, that would be like a bunch of, because the national committee is the board. And the steering committee is like administration or our secretaries. So what they technically did was say, we are pro-mandate based on the secretaries of the Green Party of the United States. And it's like,
wow,
who would care what a bunch of secretaries say? I mean,
and they didn't like do any internal polling. They didn't ask for anybody's opinion.
Nope.
They didn't do any of that stuff. Really?
Nope.
Wow.
Nope. And that's what pissed people off.
Yeah.
That was not proper. The steering committee can put out statements on their own but they usually like give us a heads up, and they definitely gives us a heads up more than 5 hours. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, they're kind of speaking for the entire party when they put out a statement like that. And it feels like they should at the very least do some kind of internal polling or at least ask the opinions of like the state chairs or something, get some kind of feedback from within the party before they take a stand like that. That seems like a really bold move to take and not ask for any feedback from inside of your own party. That's a really weird thing to do.
Well, they got plenty of feedback from inside the party. That's why they did that, because they knew they were going to push back. See, that's the problem, because I was
how very DNC of them. It's very DNC of them.
Because I tried to write a statement endorsing no new jails, the whole no new jails campaign and hashtag. And when I submitted the statement for media, and there was like, you just can't submit a statement endorsing no new jails. We have to have the national, we have to write a proposal to the national committee for them to vote on endorsing it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I did that.
Really?
It got passed. And that was that. And now the National Green Party endorses the no new jails campaign.
But
so,
they didn't do that with the mandates? It wasn't like, ooh, okay. Interesting. Okay, we have to take a quick break. Everybody hang tight for a couple minutes. We'll be right back with Felina Farley right here on TNT.
TNT Radio's Hervoy Morich.
Basically, there was this corporate has the view that, Russia, China, Putin are all, with the globalists by hook or by crook, and then Matthew Arendt has more the position, as well as Flores, that China and Russia are punching back against the Western globalist establishment. Well, have you thought about this? Is Putin secretly a Davos disciple, or is he sticking it to the NWO?
I tend to favor the view that there's a little more disagreement in the world than ultimate collusion. So, I think at that level, there has to be a degree of playing along. I don't read a whole lot necessarily into the fact that there was a tenuous connection with being a young global leader. And then, but then Klaus turns around and says, you know, basically excommunicates Putin.
Hrvoje Morić on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
I will be right by your side.
Women can have it all, including heart attacks. But symptoms like jaw pain, nausea, unusual fatigue, dizziness, and backache are often different and more subtle than for a man. The fact is, heart disease is the number one killer of women. Know the signs. Learn more at GetHeartChecked.org. From Women's Heart Alliance, in partnership with Women Heart.
Before I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, I thought all the people that I knew who didn't drink were self-righteous people, holier than thou. So it never occurred to me that Alcoholics Anonymous was filled with people who had drank like I did, and now were the same people that I used to drink with, the same people that I liked, only now they weren't drinking. They were people just like me who had been drinking for a long time and found out that it didn't work for them anymore.
Visit AA.org for more information and download the Meeting Guide app to find a meeting near you.
The new communism is COVIDism. The voice of freedom is TNT Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TNT Radio. I'm Misty Winston. We are joined this hour by Felina Farley, who is a member of the Green Party and also the Black Caucus of the Green Party. We have been having a conversation surrounding the COVID response from the Green Party, which was troubling to say the least. They came out very strongly in support of mandates, which honestly shocked me. It shouldn't have, because, you know, nothing should shock anybody anymore at this point. But I was really just honestly surprised that they would come out so strongly for mandates. And as we're learning from Felina, they did so really without I guess they got feedback, but it wasn't the feedback that they wanted. So they just kind of went ahead and rushed out a statement with very little notice to anybody within the party. So there was really little time for anybody to kind of object to it, which is very telling. It's very interesting. I wanted to ask you, and I don't know how much you really want to talk about this. I don't want to get you into trouble necessarily. But it seems as if over the past several years, there's been kind of a weird takeover within the Green Party. In 2020, I was a huge supporter of Ian Schlachman, who was running for the presidential nomination for the Green Party. I spoke to him. I spoke to other Green Party candidates. It seemed like a very concentrated effort to kind of do a Hillary Clinton for Howie Hawkins, to kind of force him into the nomination. Was that something that you kind of witnessed too from the inside of the party? Because from outside of the party, it looked as if they were kind of almost rigging the primary in favor of Howie Hawkins.
There was some rigging, but what I saw was the support Howie got from the veteran Green Party members, and how quickly they mobilized, because, you know, he was the only candidate they even had an exploratory committee.
Yeah.
Before he decided to go all the way. And, I was actually kind of pissed off at Jesse Ventura, because when he announced that he wanted to run, and I'm sitting here like, well, we sent you interest in running back in December of,
18.
We sent him a letter in 18, because if you're going to run for president, you got to start that early.
Yeah, true.
So for him not to respond until after states already had their primary was, you know, we didn't want to repeat what the DNC did with Bloomberg.
Right.
Because they bent their rules just to get him in there. And we weren't going to do that.
Right.
And we weren't going to do that for Jesse, because that was wrong. And I mean, Ohio, we were right at the crust when he announced that he wanted to do it. And we were right about to have our primary. So that's like, we're only giving people 2 weeks to add this person, another person. And then all the states that already did theirs, that was just like, Jesse, you can't do that.
No.
So.
No. And I thought that he should have run, honestly. I think that, you know, with Jill Stein not running again, I think Jill Stein was a great candidate. But I mean, Jesse Ventura has like this ready-made fan base. He's got, you know, the name recognition. He's got the charisma. He's got, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying that I would personally vote for him. Again, I'm not really into electoral politics. But he seemed like kind of a very easy option that, you know, it could have made a really big difference. Because I think, I mean, for the Green Party, the idea really isn't it kind of just to get to the 5% at this point, and so that you can get the federal funding and all of that stuff. So it seems like you would want somebody like a Jesse Ventura to run, but not if you're going to jump in last minute and try to, you know, take over in the midst of, you know, like you said, states are already done. What are they supposed to do? You can't really right. go back and redo primaries just because you're Jesse Ventura.
I know. That's what we were trying to explain to people. Like, they yeah. thought we were doing, you know. So that's what pissed me off about that. And then, and technically, you're supposed to go through your state party. So you didn't tell any of the Green Party of Minnesota anything. And they're like in the center of this George Floyd thing. They're oh. like getting major media attention. You were supposed to go to them directly.
Yeah.
You know, so you would have been set.
Yeah.
Because that's your party. That's your state party. So I don't know. It, the way he went about that was all crazy. So, yeah. But we, if he yeah. would have did it the right way and went through Minnesota, it would have blown up. That would have helped
sure.
everybody. That would have helped yes. everybody. So, yeah.
Yes. Yes, for sure. There's no question about it. Because again, he's got, you know, he's been in the game for decades. He's got plenty of name recognition. He has a ready-made fan base. He's been on, you know, TV, and he's been, I mean, he's a very well-known person. And I think that that it would have easily blown. I mean, that could have really been like a difference maker for the Green Party. Not saying that that's, you know, the only thing that you should care about when you're, you know, running a presidential candidate, whether or not they have name recognition. But when you're a third party and you're, you know, your whole thing is just to get to the 5% to receive federal funding and kind of boost the party and get more people to join and all those things, obviously, that's very beneficial. You know, like, that's a very beneficial thing. Howie Hawkins is so boring, Felina.
I know. I did have to defend him, though, because when he was here in Cleveland for that first presidential debate, and we were, you know, we all went down to Cleveland to support him and go to the debate protests. They took Joe Jordison, like, they made her leave, talking about she had the wrong permit and everything. They did a whole bunch. They did both of them wrong. But yeah. for Howie, I had to go off on the people that were organizing the protests because they tried to say he couldn't walk with them. He's like, oh, no, we bad Trump, Trump bad. We got to not this year, not this year. And I flipped out, and Howie just stood back like, oh, snap, give Felina some room.
So wait. There were people who organized a protest who didn't want him to participate in the protest because they were scared of Trump. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, they were there to protest Trump. They weren't there to protest that there were other candidates that supposed to have been on that debate stage.
Okay. Yeah, Trump did a number on some people's brains.
Yeah.
And, you know, I love that everybody pretends like he's some existential evil, like this just extraordinary, unique, crazy, evil, like, you know, villain. He's not. He's really not. He was a run of the mill. I mean, the only thing that really separated him from anybody else was the fact that he had not been a lifelong politician. But he was a run of the mill establishment guy. Like, listen to me, Trump supporters. He's establishment. Please take that in, internalize it, do what you need to do to deal with that fact. But he is establishment. This is somebody who, you know, has been in this game for a long time. Yes, he has not been inside the political game, but he not as like a candidate or as a politician, but for sure he has been inside that game. As he said on the debate stage, he bought politicians. He got favors from politicians. He runs in those circles. He is an oligarch. He's not your friend. There's a lot of Trump supporters out there who are still having a really difficult time coming to terms with that fact. But they really did a great job.
I see
job
it all
of,
the time.
I know, me too.
I see that all the time because I'm sitting here like, did you see him get booed in Arkansas once he mentioned vaccines? What is wrong?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he...
I'm like, I don't get
it. He really is just an establishment guy, though. I think that his supporters, he did a really great job of presenting himself as an outsider and of kind mm-hmm. of, you know, establishing this sort of mythology around himself that he's this, like, you know, outsider character who's going to get in there and he's going to change things. And he didn't. He did everything mm-hmm. he was told to do. He went along with the agenda. He didn't make any waves. You know, every once in a while, he would accidentally blurt the truth out, which is like the one silver lining of the Trump presidency is that occasionally he has no gift for subtlety at all. And he mm-hmm. just shoots off at the mouth. Which I can relate to because I do that too. There are like many times I speak first and then think. And so I can relate to that. But there, I mean, for him, with him, it was kind of refreshing. I mean, he would say things as bold as like, yeah, we're going to go steal their oil, which was the truth. You got very loud there, Felina.
Oh, I know. People are like, I'm out of here. I'm out. I'm near the door.
Bye, everybody. Are you at work? Are you at work?
Right yeah, now? I'm still at work.
Okay. Bye, everybody. Have a good day.
Yeah, you might hear me yeah, say like that.
That's okay. That's all right. He really did present himself as like an outsider. He's not. I mean, it was cool that he would occasionally say things like we're going to go steal their oil because that was the truth. And it's rare for a politician to actually say the truth out loud. But, you know, that was like the one silver lining. He's an establishment guy. He did as he was told. He followed the agenda. None of these people are our friends. So, yeah. But I do think that they were really good at using Trump to fearmonger. And they were able to present
him giving the shout out to Jill Stein's. We're like, would you please leave this woman alone? Which we all appreciate. At least he said, leave her alone. She's an environmental activist. Would y'all leave her alone?
Yeah, but seriously though, the hate that Jill Stein still gets is insane. It's insane. Like people still blame her for Donald Trump. And it's like, you guys, what is your brain is broken if you're still blaming Jill Stein or Susan Sarandon for a Donald Trump presidency, but you're not talking about mainstream media who gave him billions of dollars and free airtime, billions of dollars. But yeah, it's Jill Stein's fault. Totally. 100%. So ridiculous. Yeah. But the idea that the protesters wouldn't want Howie Hawkins just to walk along and participate in a protest is absurd. That's crazy.
Right. And then after I went off, they were like, you need to calm down here. You want to meditate? I'm like, no.
Oh my God. No.
That made it worse.
Do you want to meditate? Oh my God. That's like worst. That's like the worst level of just calm down. Like telling a woman who's angry to calm down. Do you want to meditate? Dude, I'm about to go off. If you say something like that to me, that's just ridiculous. Right. But yeah, Howie Hawkins was very boring. I mean, I realize that he's like been in the game for a very long time. And mm-hmm. he has done a lot of really amazing activist work. Like that's one thing I will say about Howie Hawkins is he is a legit activist. Which I respect. I mean, I'm always like, even when Cori Bush was running, she was the one member of the squad that I had a tiny bit of hope for because she comes from a legitimate activist space. She has been a huge disappointment, but you know, that was the one person I thought, okay, maybe she is coming legitimately from the streets. So there's some hope there. But I think she's kind of capitulated very quickly. But yeah, he's just so boring. Oh,
I know he's not as charismatic. He's great behind the scenes and he's great at organizing stuff. That's the thing. He's a more of a behind the scenes person. And usually his main reason is because he has so much experience keeping the ballot access line in New York, which Cuomo just pretty much like made sure he destroyed before he got kicked out. So we're working. So right now everybody's worried, like, is Howie going to run for 2024? I was like, I don't know. But right now he's trying to keep the Green Party in New York alive by running for governor just to get the ballot access. But now it's like 10 times more difficult thanks to Cuomo.
Yes. But, well, and I can tell you too.
He's not charismatic at all.
He's not. And he was a PR nightmare. The interview that he did with Primo Radical, who I think at the time was Primo Nutmeg. I don't know if that was before the name change or not, but that was so bad. That was so bad. And his response to it was terrible. Like, he came out and Russiagated. He trashed Julian Assange. He dead named Chelsea Manning. And then when he was called out on it, he said it's because he was hungry. And I'm like, dude, what? It was bad. Like, I'm sorry, eat a Snickers. Eat a Snickers, dude. I don't get transphobic and Russiagate and, you know, trash the most influential journalist of our time when I'm hungry. That's never been a thing I've done. So, you know, and I've been pretty hungry before. I get pretty hangry. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not a fun person to be around when I'm hungry. But dude, that was a bad interview. And then just the, you know, trying to blame it on being hungry was just such a PR nightmare. And I think that that was kind of the turning point for a lot of people. Like, a lot of people were a game to go with him, despite the fact that he's not very charismatic. But after that, I think a lot of people were like, nope, can't do it. I was one of those people. I was done. Yeah. Like, you trash Julian Assange, I'm done. We're done here. We're done. Andrew Yang, we're done. He trashed Julian Assange. We're done, homie. It's over. There's really no coming back from that for me. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's one of my hard lines in the sand. So, yeah, I mean, he is a good organizer. I mean, we'll give him credit. He has been in the game for decades. He's done a lot of really important stuff. But, yeah, it was just a bad choice, I think, as candidate. You know, Jill Stein is amazing. She was very fiery, you know, great speaker. She is charming and charismatic. And so, yeah, it would have been cool. I don't know. She's pretty much done, though, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, is she still fighting the FEC?
Yeah, that's true.
So the FEC is trying to say that she mishandled funds and they want their money back. Which, you know, I don't think has ever happened to a presidential candidate like this.
No, I can't think of any.
I can't think of anyone that had to pay back the.
Is this over the when she challenged the primaries? Is that what that's about? The money that was raised for that?
No, she spent the matching funds that you get after the election or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm not super familiar with that. I know that she's in that battle, but I wasn't really sure. Okay.
And then I'm sitting there like, but they gave her the money after the elections. It's weird the way that it was, like they set her up to me.
Yeah.
Because they're going to say, sure. Oh, you weren't supposed to spend this. It doesn't matter if we gave you the money, you weren't supposed to spend it. Yeah. And I was like, and you're like, oh, yeah, like she's supposed to know that. And there was like, well, we were planning she wasn't going to know so we can get her. That's how I felt that it was how it was done.
No, for sure. I think that there's been a very increased concentrated effort to shut out third parties in any way possible. And so I think that that's probably very likely the case. They were probably just trying to bait her into doing that. So, I'd heard that she was in that battle, but I honestly hadn't really been paying close attention to what it was or what it was about or anything. We do have to take our second break of the hour. Everybody hang tight here in just a couple minutes. We will be right back with more from Felina Farley. So don't go anywhere.
The midterms and America votes on November 8th. With his expert analysis and opinion, this is TNT Radio's Jeremy Beck.
A lot can change between now and the scheduled November midterm elections. The economy is in deep trouble, a banking crisis is a real danger, and the United States is in a proxy war with Russia. The mainstream media has bombarded the population with psychological warfare on all fronts. This includes hysterical anti-Russian war propaganda, which threatens World War III, alarmist COVID propaganda creating a state of medical apartheid, hogwash on a non-existent climate emergency, and woke agendas to fragment society over race and sexual identity. Never have Americans been subject to such an extensive psychological warfare operation from its media. Irrespective of this PSYOP, a Redfield and Wilton Strategies poll released on the 21st of April showed respondents identifying the economy as the top issue determining how they will vote in the upcoming November midterm elections. I'm Jeremy Beck for TNT Radio.
There is a special place in South Dakota, a place of hope, love, safety, and opportunity for Native American children. This place is St. Joseph's Indian School. Here, we preserve traditions, provide Lakota kids a safe place to learn, attend to the mind, body, heart, and spirit of every child in our care. To learn more, go to helplakotakids.org today.
Show me the studies.
Today's News Talk Radio.
True study. This is safe for adults, much less kids.
TNTRadio.live.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to TNT Radio. I am Misty Winston. I'm joined this hour by Felina Farley, who's an amazing activist, member of the Green Party's Black Caucus. And we've been kind of dissecting the Green Party in this. It's really been, and I don't think it's all Green Party internal problem. As we just mentioned before the break, there's really been an increase in effort in shutting down third parties over the last, I would say, probably like at least decade. But it's gotten really bad. Like we just saw in 2020, was it 2020, the Democratic Party decided they're going to start suing to get third parties off the ballot.
Yeah, multiple places they sued states. In the main states they sued are the ones that Jill Stein did the disputed the results of the election. Michigan, Pennsylvania. Yeah, they focused on those states specifically.
Of course.
Trying to
of
find
course
any
they
loopholes
did.
As part. Yeah.
A reminder, they're called the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. That's not very democratic, you guys. I don't know. It doesn't seem very democratic to me. I don't get it. It's a little weird. We should also mention, too, that this is the same party who, when they were taken to court in the DNC lawsuit, which shout out to Nico House and Jared and Elizabeth Beck for tackling that huge problem. But there was the DNC lawsuit where in court, the lawyer for the DNC said that we're a private company. We can do whatever we want. We can go in the back room in a cigar smoke filled room and choose whatever candidate we want. And there's nothing you can do about it. So that's the quote unquote Democratic Party. But there really has been an increased effort to kind of shut down third parties across the board. I don't know. There really hasn't been, I don't think, as much as attention put on the Libertarian Party. I think that's they've been kind of left alone for the most part. But obviously, there's always going to be attacks on leftist parties. and that's definitely been the case over the past. It's really gotten really bad since 2020.
Well, with how they attack the Libertarian Party, like what they did here in Ohio, is that they do it. They do it legislatively and change the ballot access laws.
Yeah.
So to kick them off the ballot and then makes it hard for everyone else to get on.
Yes.
So that's why
I can
we
tell
don't
you
have
that
access in Ohio,
people better watch out in 2024. Dave Smith, I don't know if you're familiar with Dave Smith, but he is kind of a force to be reckoned with within the Liberty movement, within the Libertarian Party. And there's been a lot of effort going into getting him to run and encouraging him to run. I know Scott Horton is a big proponent of Dave Smith. I like Dave Smith. I disagree with him on a lot of things, but I like him. I will say he's a very good speaker. He's very charismatic. He's a very good communicator. He went on Joe Rogan and brought up Yemen, which I love him for. People better. If he runs, pay attention to the Libertarian Party, because that's going to be a really big deal for them. That I think that will almost for sure get them to 5% and get them the federal funding and all of that stuff. And I think that's when we're going to see a lot more effort put into silencing and shutting down the Libertarian Party for sure. So what do you think is going to happen with the Green Party? Do you think Howie Hawkins is going to run again?
No, I think more effort should go into all the people that just got kicked off RT America. because that was the interesting part. Chris Hedges was going to run for U.S. Senator in New York.
Yes.
But he had to step back because of the RT contract. And then Jesse had to step back because of the RT contract. He couldn't pursue it either anyway, even if he wanted to go as independent. So now that barrier is gone, we got to start reaching out to all these people that were considering running in 2020. Like, okay, now you can't say SRT anymore.
Yeah, so dude, I would vote for Chris Hedges. I would 100. I disagree with Chris Hedges on a lot of stuff, in particular COVID. But I have a huge amount of respect for Chris Hedges, and I do think that he is somebody who is reasonable. I think that we could have conversations with him, and he would listen. But yeah, I would vote so hard for Chris Hedges. Are you kidding me? But mm-hmm. Do you think he'll run for president though, or do you think he'll just run in New York?
I don't
if you
know.
Can get him to.
I mean, like, right. Like, he's pretty much kind of like still kind of in a shock, but no different than Lee Camp. So we're trying to, like, you know, let them settle a little bit, see what they're going to do.
I'm so sad about that. They're, first of all, I know a lot of those people personally. I mean, I don't know Chris Hedges. I would like to. Chris Hedges is cool. I would love to have him on the show. If anybody knows Chris Hedges, tell him I'm trying to get a hold of him. But yeah, I mean, I know Rachel Blevins. I've had conversations with her. She's a super nice person. I know Lee Camp. I've met Lee Camp. He's a super nice person. And so for these people to have their lives just completely upended over some just ridiculousness is really depressing. And then all of that work is just gone. It's just poof.
I know.
Gone. And it's, yep. I mean, Chris Hedges' show On Contact, those were some of the best interviews. I mean, he's a really gifted interviewer. He's a really gifted journalist. And so it's really depressing that all of that stuff has just been disappeared. I hate censorship. Hate it. I 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 hate it. No censorship. Zero. Zero censorship. Actually, I wanted to talk to you too. I saw your tweet earlier, Movement for a People's Party, which is a hot mess express, but they really are. I mean, honestly, it took them 4 years to come up with a name. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. I've never been a fan. Again, I am not an electoral politics person, so I was never interested. But just watching I mean, it's a really bad mess. But yeah, they tweeted out today about Elon Musk buying Twitter and something about that he should include the First Amendment in their what did they call it? Their corporate
constitution. Their corporate constitution.
Oh goodness. Oh boy. Yeah, and you called him out. You were quick to call him out and you're like, "No, this is ridiculous." And that is ridiculous. A corporate constitution? No, first of all, oligarchs shouldn't get to buy public discourse, and that's essentially what he did. A lot of people think that Elon Musk is going to save free speech. Elon Musk won't even talk about Julian Assange. He is not a free speech warrior. He is he just tweeted out something ridiculous today about how I believe in free speech as much as the law allows. Or whatever.
Yeah, I saw that.
If people want less free speech, then they'll ask for legislation to. It shouldn't be up to people because people are idiots and they are tribalistic, and so they want to shut down speech that they don't agree with. And that's the whole point, is that free speech is meant to protect speech that you don't agree with, that is unpopular. And so yeah, he's not, like, it's very strange to me to watch people think that this oligarch is going to save. Ah, oh, free speech. Holy cow, are we in trouble? We're in so much trouble. Oh, it's depressing.
Yeah, everybody is in a wait and see mode. I'm in a wait and see mode about the open source stuff. If he open sources it, then I'm in a wait and see mode. See how that goes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm willing to get, like, I just have very low expectations. You know, hopefully he does do some of the cool things that he says he's going to do, and hopefully he does, stop the just unbelievable rampant censorship that's happening across social media. I saw somebody under that same tweet that I just mentioned, they're doing the whole, yeah, well, it's a private company thing. And I'm so tired of that argument, Felina. Listen, I get that legally it's a private company. I get that. There is zero gray space between tech giants, social media giants, and our government. Zero gray space. Mm-hmm. They are one and the same. There's a revolving door. I think that it was Kamala Harris's communications director or something, used to work at Twitter. And then when mm-hmm. he leaves her office, he'll go back to Twitter or he'll go to Instagram or he'll go wherever. There's a revolving door. They all work, you know, in the same circles, and they're owned and operated by the exact same people. And there is no gray space. I'm so tired of the private company thing. It needs to be 100% nationalized, no censorship, people owned, people controlled. It's insane that we just think some oligarch can buy. I mean, he just bought public discourse, essentially. And that's terrifying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And corporate constitution.
Yeah. And you know, people talk about like the Green Party, you know, we're a bunch of atheist hippies that you know, that hate. Well, we some people say that we treat the defectors as suspect. Now, I went from Tea Party to Green Party, so I don't have that, being treated or having trust issues with me when I joined the Green Party, because I didn't come from the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
But when you're coming from the Democrat or Republican Party into the Green Party, yeah, there's some trust issues going on, because we get sabotaged a lot and a lot of infiltrators.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, crazy amount of stuff. I'm sitting here like, how, where is this money? Who is getting paid? I really, if anything, I just want a private investigator to try to look and see who all these infiltrators are.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a legitimate problem. Yes. Yeah. And I wish that we could afford to do that, because we've seen it happen time and time and time again. Every time, whether it's the Green Party or whether it's the protest that came from George Floyd or, you know, the trucker protest or whatever it is, all of these movements, anything that is people driven and that could benefit the people, it will be infiltrated 100%. Yeah. There, it will
Occupy
be infiltrated.
Was the worst was yeah, oh really my God. In your face.
Yeah.
That was
bad.
In our face. Yeah.
Yes. I mean, Antifa's been infiltrated. Mm-hmm. And the Proud Boys are basically all feds. You know what I mean? It's like Fedpalooza.
Yep.
All of these movements are always going to be infiltrated, and there's going to be an attempt to co-opt and sabotage from the inside. That's just the way that it's always going to work. So you have to be skeptical of people. I mean, you have to. I mean, mm-hmm. that's just the way that it is. People talk to me about that all the time, because I'm willing to have conversations with people that I don't agree with on everything. And they're like, oh, how could you trust some? I don't trust anybody. No people. Zero people. I'm an organizer. You cannot have trust in any. I mean, there's like maybe a handful of people who I've been organizing with for years who are like family mm-hmm. to me that I have some trust in. But for the most part, if you are in my organizing space, if you are like people on Twitter, like, I don't trust any of you. Sorry. Sorry. That's just the way it has to be. You have to be very suspicious when you're in this space, you know? That's just the way it's got to
yep.
be.
Right. I mean, and no offense to anybody. As you can see, you know, everything I saw in the Moving for People's Party, I was like, well, they're going to go just like how the Tea Party went. And then.
Yep. Yeah.
See, I learned my lesson for the Tea Party. So I was like, okay, not doing that again. So.
Right. Well, I was immediately skeptical of Movement for a People's Party because it started as Draft Bernie. The attempt mm-hmm. was going to be to draft Bernie to start a third party. And I was 100% done with Bernie Sanders after 2016. The second he, capitulated and then went on to not just endorse, but campaign and stump for the human personification of everything that he claims to stand against, I was done mm-hmm. with Bernie Sanders. WikiLeaks gave him everything he needed to challenge that primary, and he won't even talk about it. He won't even talk about it. He won't even mention the fact that he got robbed twice. Not once, but twice. He won't even mention it. So the idea behind Draft Bernie, I was like, I couldn't roll my eyes harder. You know what I mean? Could not.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, it took him 4 years to come up with the People's Party name. Really?
Right.
Oh.
And then remember, Nina was supposed to also run under the People's Party. and she still went Democrat. So it's like, okay, Because I'm thinking like, okay, I mean, I met didn't that organizer for the Ohio Movement for People's Party show up at the Medicare for All?
I thought they were
like really put stuff together. So.
No, and listen, I feel bad. You just made me feel bad, Felina, because that guy, there are good people within the People's Party. I will say that they have always been, both nationally and their local movements, they have always been supportive of Julian Assange and our efforts. Nick Brana comes out to all of our actions in D.C. I'll give him credit for that. And he brings people with him, which I appreciate. So I guess it's just because I don't care about electoral politics, and then the idea being birthed as like a draft Bernie, I was already done when they got started. So it's really nothing personal necessarily against them. They really need to get, if they're going to like be serious, they need to be serious. They really, like I said, taking like 4 years to come up with a name. They still don't have ballot access anywhere. They're running no candidates. And this is like, what, 6 years later? You know, that's a problem. I think we're all right to be suspicious and suspect of the lack of, organization and, the controversy that's out there right now about Nick Brown. I don't know how much I believe that. I know that that's always something that's been, those kind of accusations have often been used against third parties, against candidates. It was used against Jihad Bitar. It's been used against Julian Assange. So I'm always a little hesitant to like jump into like the whole, let's just believe women every time. I don't know what kind of stock I put in that, but they are like a hugely disorganized mess. They really have no, national standing or ballot access or anything. So, it's just, I just don't think
I actually kind of feel as that's kind of a cover for what happened to a lot of the Black people in that organization, because they're...
Yeah, I don't know much about that either.
Yeah, we got two new members into the Black Caucus because of the racism against the Black people that tried to build the Movement for a People's Party. And they pretty much did, especially when it came to reparations and the Black agenda, and they were just pretty much like, no, we're not doing that. We're for everybody. And it's like, you can't do that. I mean, that's just like going against this whole Black Lives Matter thing. And
it's all lives matter, Felina.
Oh, God.
Oh, goodness. But that's what it reminds me of. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it reminds me of. Okay, so we do have to wrap in just a couple minutes. I want to make sure you have time to tell everybody where they can find you, follow you, support you, all that good stuff. So tell everybody where they can catch you.
You can catch me on Twitter as my first name. It's the Greek, not the French. So that's P-H-I-L-E-N-A. And it's also, that's my tag on Facebook. Instagram is PiffBits. And you can also, since I am media of the Green Party, you can also send me any type of media inquiries at media@gp.org.
Awesome. So everybody check Felina out. She's hilarious. I told you, like, when I met her and she said she didn't want to be the angry Black woman, but she had to because Nina Turner wasn't going to. I was in love. That was amazing. So it was fantastic to meet you in Columbus. It was great to have you on the show. I'd love to have you back on anytime you want to come on. Just so everybody knows, we're going to play a little bit of a replay here because I have a meeting at my kid's school. But then I will be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern with more for you right here on TNT Radio. But don't go anywhere. There's more coming up right after this.